This is Night Traffic by Martin Foreman. Read by Gordon Houston. Colours are different at night. Under the road lamps, everything's orange. Above them, everything's black or navy blue. There must be stars, but I cannot see them. The cars are all orange, just different shades. They whoosh out from under us and disappear into the night. Going so fast you think they were doing 100 or more. Like spaceships on the attack. You can't even see their taillights. I thought it'd be quiet on the road. Mile after mile of darkness. The Stones on the radio, B.B. King, John Lee Hooker. Or nothing, just dugging me. But it's almost as busy as daytime. Where are they all going at this time of night? Why are they not in bed, asleep? They can't all be going to London. And isn't it just cars? Lorries, coaches, the AA, police. A huge transporter with God knows how many cars. Jags off to some lucky buggers with money. Fat bastards who've made a killing for off-licences in betting shops. Drugs, that kind of thing. Nah, they drive Alfa Romeos or Porsches. Who drives Jags? Lawyers, the royal family. Ronnie, that DJ in Glasgow, he's got one. Not the best, but it's better than Doug Sierra. Not that I'm complaining. It's getting us there. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I could make that sound. It's just one chord. Play it fast and loud and let it slowly die down. No, that's not it. It's not just one car at a time. It's several. All making a slightly different sound. One's flat, one's sharp, long, short. There's a second silence, just a vibration, and suddenly there's another and another and another. You could lay down a whole song, tighten it up, give it a rhythm, but not so much that it's predictable, mind. Call it Cars in the Night. Night Traffic, something like that. A modern version of that Tom Robinson number. I mean, it was okay in its day, but it's time for something new, for the 21st century. Racing down the motorway. Don't give a damn what other people say. Living my life, no need for a wife. With my man, we're roaming the land. Something like that. A song that shouts at the world. That really tells it what it's like. Thank God for service stations. Another 5 miles and I would have fallen asleep at the wheel. Never mind the B.B. King. It wouldn't have been so bad if Doug had stayed awake to keep me company, but he was dead to the world, his mouth hanging open like a wee bairn. A bairn with a bit of stubble. Made me feel good that he trusted me enough to fall asleep. I mean, I know he trusts me, but it's not so often that he gets the chance to show it. It's a weird place, this. Two big car parks with a restaurant and a bridge, a couple of games machines and toilets and closed shops, and a few night owls like me and Doug. See the couple at the next table? The woman's got a face like thunder. Like he's just told her he's having an affair and she's wondering whether to slam the plate down in his head or walk out on him. Fat man behind Doug, looking as if he's just come out of prison and he's on his way back home. Looks a right bastard. Bet his family are no pleased. The girl cleaning tables. You can tell she's bored. Bet she wishes he was at home, snuggled up on the couch with her boyfriend, watching TV, kissing and cuddling and that. I wonder how often she's done it. Wonder what she'd think of Doug and me. How many miles have we done? 200? 300? 6 hours and it feels like a lifetime. 6 hours back up that road. That long and winding road. A ribbon of black. All the way through England. All the way back past Manchester and Preston and Carlisle. Back over the border and over the hills. A trail all the way back to Edinburgh. Into town. Along Prince's Street and down Leith Walk. Into Pilrig. Couple of corners and park outside the front door. Walk up 3 flights. Open the door quietly, because everyone's asleep. Tiptoe past Mum and Dad's room, past Zoe's and into mine. My own wee cubbyhole with all my CDs under the bed and Hendrix and the almighty Keith up on the wall. Drop my backpack on the floor and fall into bed. Wake up in the morning with a hangover and Mum knocking at the door, saying I'll be late for work. It was all a dream. Never got to London. Never got this far. I never left. Stay there all my life. No way. I couldn't go back. No now. I'll miss a few things, but no much. I'll miss Ma. Never told her, but I love her. She doesn't stand up to Dad often enough, but she's always done right by me. Ugh. I'll call when Dad's no in, let her know I'm okay. Sometimes I think she should leave him. But where would she go? Auntie Mary? Gran and Grandpa? They didn't have room for her. Besides, I think she loves him. God knows why. She's got this way of feeling bad for me and defending him at the same time that I've never understood. Well, when I'm rich, I'll take her away for a while, give her breathing space, and she'll find out what he's really like. And I'll miss Zoe. I hope Dad doesn't put any ideas into her head, like her big brother's been put inside. I worry about her. She's turning into a right bonny lass. I hope she doesn't realise it. Or if she does, I hope she doesn't make a thing of it. Forget her books and just go after boys. Like fat Fiona. With Zoe's brains, it'd be such a waste. She could be a doctor or a lawyer. Maybe even an MP. Prime Minister of Scotland. That'd be grand. And there's a few friends I don't want to lose touch with. Blinda. She thinks we're crazy to leave now that we've got our own parliament and independence round the corner. But she doesn't know the half of it. Any road, she'll be down to see us one day, if she even gets that far. It'll take a week for her just to stop at all the raves. Wonder what the English will make of her. There's nobody more in your face than Linda when she's had a few. And Bob and Charlie said they'd visit when we were settled. I mean, Bob's a bit dull, but they were real kind to me when I was feeling really low. Maybe Doug and me can do the same for some kid sometime. Talk to him, cheer him up, that kind of thing. 12-8. Bass. D. Steady double beat. Hey kid, when you're feeling low, when the heat's on and there's nowhere to go, bring in the lead, start on C, soar up. Come on round, open a beer, I'm at your side, ready to hear. Loud now, angry, rapid drums. The world's a fuck up, people are shit, but you look carefully and don't you miss. Friends like me who mean you well, so let all the cunts go to fucking hell. I'll see them again. It's not like I've gone forever. I'll be back in a couple of years, when we've made it. When we've got a home with a big garden and maybe a small pond. A huge kitchen with all the pots and pans hanging up, all shiny and new. A studio with all the latest equipment. Big screen TV in the front room. Shelves stacked with DVDs and CDs. Huge bedroom with a fancy bed and a walk-in wardrobe. A new car. Two outside. One of them a convertible. When I come back, it'll be to play the Usher Hall. The band will come backstage and we'll all go for a drink along Rose Street, get absolutely plastered. We'll get on fine. None of the fights we've been having. If they've any sense, Pete and Michael have packed it in, but Hamish will still be going. His voice is the best when he's in the mood. Christ, that time, the two of us were on our own. We were perfect. The new Proclaimers. The new Simon and Garfunkel. But it would never have worked out. Folks know my style. I'm a blues man. I need a band, an orchestra sometimes to create the sound I want. All Hamish wants is backing. You can see it coming. We'd just be fighting all the time. I wanted to bring in more of my own songs and he didn't like it. Maybe a few years down the line, when we've both got our own careers, we'll lay down a few tracks together. Like Jagger and Bowie. Do a gig or two. Put out an album. Anything will be possible when I've made a name for myself. I mind the first time I got a guitar. I was that happy, sitting on my bed, trying a few chords. Wasn't he loud or anything, I was just getting the feel of the thing. And Dad comes in and shouts that he can't hear the telly and what the fuck had I wasted his money on? That was the time I should have shouted back. Told him to go fuck himself, throw himself out the window. But I couldn't. And he knew it. A cunt. George said he was just jealous. 20 years of dustman and nothing to show for it while I've got all this talent. But that's nothing to do with it. Some of his pals have been dustmen for longer and they're fine. Nothing wrong with being a dustman. It's just he's selfish. A selfish, narrow-minded bastard who always put me down ever since I was a kid. You'd think a man would be proud of his only son. You'd think he'd be pleased that he's got a bit of talent. You'd think at the very least that he'd love him, give him a bit of encouragement and respect. I would. If I ever have a kid, I'll love him, whatever he does. No, like Dad. Men like him shouldn't be allowed to have kids. If it wasn't for George, I reckon I wouldn't be here. That night on the North Bridge, I almost jumped, crashed through the roof onto the tracks. If not then, it might have been another night. Then I met George. My first. No, the first I did anything way, but the first to take a shine to me, tell me he loved me. And I loved him, or I thought I did. I felt safe with him. I felt good with him. I hope he finds someone else soon. It was alright for a while, but we'd never worked. He's over 40 for Christ's sake, all middle-aged and settled. Nice job with the council, nice flat, nice car, but that's not what I want. No yet. Once I got my head together, I realised what I wanted was to live a bit first. Do the kind of thing Doug and me get up to. Like the time we were in McDonald's on Princes Street when it was full of rugby fans and we were daring each other to see how far we'd go. That guy spotted us and he couldn't believe his eyes. Or the time we went for a walk in the Pentlands. It was freezing, but it was fun. Just the two of us, kissing on top of the hill. George would never have done that kind of thing. And half the time he was too tired for sex. I used to think I was the type only older men go for. There was George, that Rob from England always after me, and I could hardly walk into the pub without some pensioner wanting to buy me a drink. It's not as if the younger guys didn't fancy me, but all they wanted was sex. Maybe a repeat performance, but never anything more. I was beginning to think there was something wrong with me. Like with Alistair. For a week, we saw each other every day, and I thought he was the one. Then he was supposed to call me, and he didn't. And when I called him, he wasn't at home. It was Johnny who told me he'd met some American and they'd practically been doing it on the dance floor all night. I was so unhappy, I couldn't stop crying. I just locked myself in the room, turned up the music and cried and cried. Things might have been alright if it hadn't been for that John Henderson. I've come across a few hard cases, but none like him, with his ugly rat face and farting around like he's God's gift to the world. 3 seconds, that's all it took. 3 seconds for him to see me kissing that guy outside CC's at 2 in the morning, and the next day it was all round the warehouse. I tried to deny it, but I was red as a beetroot. It wouldn't have been so hard if it was just the other lads, but Henderson couldn't leave it alone. Never let up, not once. I could have put up with the insults and the jokes, but that wasn't enough. 1 minute he's making a mess of my paperwork. The next, he's telling McDonald that I'm no up to the job. And the next, he's got me up against the wall with his fist in my face. He knows I'd never fight back, not unless I want to spend a month in the infirmary, and he'd get away with it.
It wasn't my fault, I swear, your worship, it was him touching me up, I lost my head, any man would have done the same.
Bastard. Cunt. George said I should find another job. I mean, all very easy for him to say, and it's no as if there's that many jobs around. I looked, but there was nothing. Anyway, Henderson was only half the problem. The other half was always waiting at home. I've got no home now. I don't need one. I've got Doug. Doug's sitting there smiling with his short, fair hair and gold earring. Doug with his face like an angel and body like a statue. Doug's smell, strong and sweet. Doug's voice, low, serious. Doug with his big grin. Doug dancing like a maniac. Doug racing me up Arthur's seat. Doug's just being there. I wasn't living before I met Doug. No, even with George. The nearest I got was when it was just me and the guitar. Or me Hamish in the guitar, when my fingers kent what they were doing without even thinking about it. When the sound just went straight from my head through the strings to the amplifier. When I was floating on the sound. That day in the Union, 500 people all listening and cheering me on. You can't explain to anybody if they can't play. You become the music. It's like what pagans say about God. You're everywhere, in everything, because there's nothing else. No sight. Nae colours, nae fear, nae emotions. No, different emotions. It's magic. Being with Doug is almost as good as that feeling. Like, now, I'm as high as I've ever been. Doesn't matter that we're no talking. You didn't need to talk. It's fine just with his leg against mine and me watching him watching the traffic, seeing his face reflected in the window with that expression he has when he thinks no one's watching. All serious. Like when he's in the shop and he puts on that posh voice, the one he used with me the first time we met. You can tell he's responsible. But he takes chances. If he hadn't made the effort to pick me up that day, I might have walked out that shop and never seen him again. Bought my strings and Leith Walk like I usually do, and I'd still be standing in CC's waiting for my prince to come. But Doug's perfect. I'm his third affair, but the first one he's told he loved. And he does, because he's proved it again and again. He was the one who took me to dinner on Valentine's Day, and he was the one who drove me all the way to the Lake District on my birthday and made sure there was cake and champagne. He listens when I talk about music. He doesn't know much about it, but he knows that I know what I'm talking about. I've got him to understand the basic difference between blues and rock, different guitars and that, and how most guitarists nowadays are crap, and what makes Keith great. I mean, Kurt Cobain, for fuck's sake, take away his amp, and he was nothing. Doug doesn't just listen. He gives me ideas too. Don't restrict yourself, he says. Think of the Beatles, how they kept learning and changing, and he's right. George Harrison didn't stick to one style all his life. Should always try something new. And I can help Doug too. I didn't know much about running a shop, but I'll do whatever I can for him. He's so sexy, staring out the window like he was car spotting, and all the while his legs playing with mine. The way his jacket's hanging open so I can see his t-shirt in the window, minding me of his hairy chest underneath it. I love to rub my face in it. It's so warm. I love to kiss him and put my hands on his arse and feel his hands on mine. I love to Christ, just thinking about doing it with him makes me almost come. But it's more than sex. It's love. It's wanting to be with him even after I've come. It's writing songs for him. It's wanting to be his friend and his boyfriend and his wife and his husband and his best pal and everything. It's knowing he wants to do the same for you. It's wanting to be with him for the rest of your life. And he feels the same. He wants to stay with me forever. He took me home to meet his parents. He gave up his job for me. He didn't have to. He could have made regional manager in a couple of years if he'd stayed. He wouldn't have done that if he wasn't in love with me. I must have written half a dozen songs about him, but I can never get them right. All you need to do is smile, and I will run that extra mile. All you need to do is grin, and I know I'll always win. Gliding down the motorway, throwing all my cares away, watching all the cars flash by, seeing the smile in my lover's eye. One or two are no bad, but it's like a blind man describing an elephant. I get bits of it, but I can never get the whole thing. Maybe it's impossible. But I want to create something that people will remember for generations. Something that kids 100 years from now will sing. The first famous song written by a gay rocker for his lover. Or gay bluesman, or gay jazz guitarist, or all three. Doesn't matter. As long as I write it. As long as people sing it. As long as they remember me and Doug. Ach, it'll come. There's nothing to stop me now. I've left it all behind. I'm free to do whatever. Free to go to London with Doug. Free to sit here writing a song at 3 in the morning. Free to leave Doug if I want. I could walk out right now. Hitch a lift. To London. Dover. Go to France or Germany. I could easily make it there. They love British rock in Germany. Look out, Fritz. Your new god is here. Brian McRae, spiritual son of the almighty Keith Richards. Bow down and worship. It's just hit me. All along, I've been thinking I'm running away from home, running away from Dad and Henderson and the problems with the band, but that's no it. I'm no running away. I'm running to a better life. It won't be easy. I've heard all the stories about London, all the programmes on the telly about guys sleeping in the streets, getting hooked on drugs. That won't happen to me. There's enough drugs in Edinburgh, I didn't need to go to London for that. Music's my drug. The odd tab's okay, but I didn't like the feeling afterwards. And I play crap when I'm on something. That recording we made, the way I was all over the place was embarrassing. I thought I was doing a Hendrix and it was shite. A pint and a dram, that's all I need. That and Doug. It'll happen. We'll have to work at it, but it'll happen. Doug will get his business and I'll find a band. At the very least, get regular session work. Give me time and I'll make a name for myself. In the meantime, I'll work my arse off. 2 weeks, I reckon, one of us will have a job. 2 months and we'll be in a place of our own. 2 years and one of us will make it and the other won't be far behind. How much further have we got? 100 miles? 2? It'll still be dark when we get there. What'll we do? Have breakfast somewhere. Aye. There's bound to be a cafe open. Then we'll watch the sun come up over the Thames. Give each other a big wet kiss. Then it's down to work. Finding a job and somewhere to live. I reckon we can hit 8 temp agencies by lunch. One of us will have a job by the end of the week. It'll be easier for Doug, but I'll find something, even if it's humping bricks all day. Then the band. I'll take my time. I'm not going to end up with a vocalist who sounds like Johnny Rotten and a bass who can't even tune his instrument. I'm the best, and I'm going to show the world how good I can be. Well, time to go. It's Doug's turn to drive. I'll put the seat back, put my feet up and watch the traffic. The wee red lights, the big white ones, the orange, the dark, the growl of the engine, the whine of the tyres in the road, hear the whoosh as cars pass. Doug's hand on my knee, the car rocking me to sleep. I'll close my eyes and think about the song I was writing. Night traffic. And wake up to a brand new day. That was Night Traffic by Martin Foreman. Read by Gordon Houston.
This has been a trial podcast from Arbury Productions. Find out more on arburyproductions.co.uk. Thanks for listening.